A very good day, good listener, and thank you so much, as always, for clicking on this podcast and this particular episode of Joe Blogs About Films, whether you're a first-time listener or a long-time listener. Like I say on every single episode, it means the world. Thank you so much for clicking, for spinning, for sharing, whatever it is. I really do appreciate you taking the time to hear me waffle away. Now, Inspired by True Events gets thrown around an awful lot within the film world. There's always that internal question of how much of this story is true, or like a feeling you get where you're just not quite sure whether the filmmakers have dashed in more creativity than truth, which is fine and all, and it is to be expected, let's be frank, but it's rare that you see a film that's inspired by true events where it almost feels like the work of fiction. Enter Roofman. This is the story of a guy who robbed 46 stores, entering via the roof, coining that nickname of Roofman, who was inevitably caught and sent to prison, only to then break out of prison and hide in a Toys R Us for months on end. It just seems a little hard to pitch as being a true story, but boy oh boy, this certainly was. It's a surreal story that has been adapted pretty well by director Derek Kean France. Apologies if I'm butchering that surname. It feels like it was a film that's been waiting to be made, almost too good not to be turned into a comedy drama, but the execution really was a surprising one. And I say surprising because on the back of the trailer, I did think that the film was going to lean into more of the comedy, but interestingly and perfectly, it's really more a character study about this guy as well as the relationship that he manages to have whilst on the run. By leaning more into that drama side, the film delivers some really exceptional performances from its leads as two supporting cast members that provides a very real and authentic experience, something that not all comedy dramas can really pull off. Sure, you know, the blueprint was there with the story of what transpired with Jeffrey Manchester, aka Roofman, but it still has a lot of work to do to get the audience to buy into this character, seeing as, you know, he's a criminal, but it really does, and it probably also helps that Jeffrey Manchester was a very nice and polite criminal. That'll do it too. But it's not just the top work from Channing Tatum as the lead that is a standout, because pretty much everyone in this thing is excellent. The chemistry between all is off the charts, you know, and generates such a believable and real conversations and actions that it does get you invested at where these characters end up come the end of the film. That only works when you have a pretty sharp script and actors firing on all cylinders, which Roofman definitely does. But before I proceed, just another quick thank you for spinning this episode and podcast. If you like what you hear and you haven't done so already, please hit the follow and notification button on the streaming app of your choice. That way you'll never miss a beat and be updated when new episodes are live. Head over to Instagram and Facebook as well and search Joe Blogs About Films. Give us a follow on those pages. But finally, rate the podcast on Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, or wherever you're listening. It helps a lot. It means a lot. But once again, a massive thank you for all of your support. A charismatic criminal, while on the run from the police, hides in a hidden space of a toy store. There, he adopts a new identity and becomes involved with an employee, beginning a relationship as unlikely as it is risky. Roofman is one where if you're going in expecting the film to be quite literally watching Tatum rob 46 stores, then you will absolutely come away disappointed, because it ain't that. I guess on some level I would have maybe have liked to have seen a few more of the robberies taking place, but there's enough in here that you get a taste of how those robberies will have gone down prior to where we start with this character. We get a terrific and fun opening seeing Tatum's Jeffrey as he breaks into a McDonald's exclaiming, "Good morning, team," and then proceeding to ask the staff to enter the freezer whilst he does his business. You know, going as far with being polite enough to donate his coat to the store manager, who didn't bring his with him on this particular day. It sets you up for what kind of guy Jeffrey Manchester is. He's a criminal, of course, but it's not at the expense of hurting anyone in the process. At the end of the day, he's a guy that spent years serving and protecting his country and these people, and his story is almost an analysis on how those coming out of serving in the military can fall on hard times or not quite know how they fit in society now. And that's, again, a pretty strong point that the film runs with. The main goal for Jeffrey here is to just provide for his family, which is incredibly relatable. That's his drive, which leads him down this criminal path, which again is enough for us as the audience to get on side with him. He's not robbing for his own personal gain, he's doing so to be the father he wants to be for his daughter, whether his ex-partner accepts what he gives them or not. That desire to provide, as well, you know, the kindness within this character, is what seeps into the story and what makes him quite likable and somewhat relatable, especially given how good Tatum was in the film as well. Back in my youthful days, I can't say I was ever impressed with Tatum. He was just this, like, dancer guy that somehow fell into acting as well, and yes, that's probably very ignorant of me to just sum him up that way, but that's how I viewed him. I think it was 21 and 22 Jump Street where I started to enjoy, you know, what he brought to screen, like infectiousness, you know, and all that prejudgment just started to fade away. And in Roofman, he's genuinely brilliant. And it helps as well that he gets to share the screen with the wonderful Kirsten Dunst too. Now, hold on to that thought though, because following Manchester's arrest, you know, his sentence is cut short thanks to a cheeky and clever getaway plan that leaves Manchester hiding within a local Toys R Us store for a good period of time. And it's here where the fun is to be had. I thoroughly enjoyed seeing Tatum just be this big kid and almost live out everyone's childhood fantasy of living within a Toys R Us, you know, enjoying all these M&Ms that he can get his hands on whilst creating a pretty cushy setup hiding away in there during the day, you know, with all these gizmos and gadgets that he can find. It's the big selling point of the film, really, you know, just seeing what Tatum gets up to within this store, or how he evades being caught by staff or customers, which does lead to quite a few humorous moments, one involving Peter Dinklage's character being greeted by a naked Tatum following a shower that he was taking. The film isn't afraid from dipping its toes into the silliness within its humour, but it's not detrimental to the flow or realism that the film presents. If it's not Tatum roaming free around the store, he's also able to watch what's occurring via baby monitors that he's placed all around, even been able to view behind the scenes at how these staff have been treated by their dick boss, again, played very well by Peter Dinklage. It just all works in getting you on side of Jeffrey and understanding his motives and characteristics. You know, once he and Dunst begin to bloom on the back of, you know, him shadily and sneakily getting things going her way within the store, thanks to what he can see and what he can update, it's just a constant scene stealer after scene stealer between the two of them. I love Kirsten Dunst. There's obviously like a bit of nostalgia in there because she played MJ, but she truly is a wonderful performer, and I felt that both her and Tatum were a triumph in this one. It's so easy to watch these two in conversation, you know, captivated by one another's charm and presence, that you genuinely feel them falling in love with one another. The only downside is that you know it's destined to fail. Like, this is a criminal at the end of the day, albeit a reluctant criminal, and so you're waiting for the wheels on this bus to just fall off, which of course it does sting the very moment that it happens. There isn't any red flags for Dunst Lee in this film, you know. Here, she is this really likeable and charming guy that's great with her kids, wants to provide for them the best he can without overstepping any boundaries per se, treats her well following a messy divorce that she's just experienced. It's all too good to be true, which is all the more heartbreaking because it really is. The shot of Dunst in tears within the police car towards the end is shattering. It really hits you and it hurts, you know, which isn't at all how I thought I'd feel about these characters when I was going in to watch this one. It's a testament to the writing and the execution of this thing because the emotions never really let up, which again, as I keep saying, was just a massive surprise for me within Roofman. It is a flick that upon seeing the trailer, I figured I would go in and have a fun time with it. And whilst that fun is there to be had, Roofman has this immense emotional weight and characters that make this thing go from being good to being excellent. It's a pretty surprise hit for me this year, and one that could easily make its way into my collection. And all I would say to people who've not necessarily seen it yet is to either buy it, to stream it, because it really, really is worth it. Now for that, I'm going to give this film an 8.5 out of 10. I really, really did enjoy this, and it's taken me a while, weirdly, to get this review out. It's been sat on my laptop since like October, but Halloween came and went and there was so much going on there. So it's nice to finally sit down and give this film the time of day that it deserves. And I hope that many more people check this out, because I feel like this is going to be a perfect watch, you know, once it hits the likes of Netflix or Amazon, etc. Really, really excellent stuff. But I would love to know as well, if you've seen the film, what's your favourite Channing Tatum film? What's your favourite Kirsten Dunst? You know the drill. All that jazz. Let me know. Keep in touch. I'll be back with more reviews. Don't you worry. But until the next episode, take care.